Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Baba Batra Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Marchikin et haShovach min ha'ir 50 ama, v'lo yaseh adam shovach b'toch shelo, u'kein yesh lo 50 ama l'chol ruach. Yiromer beit arba'at kurin melo sheger hayona, v'im lakcho afidu beit rov areyu b'chezkato. This Mishnah is dealing with a dove coat. How far do you have to keep a dove coat away from the city? And the consideration is that the doves will get out and eat up the grain that other people have planted. So you have to distance the dove coat 50 amot away from the city, and you're not allowed to make a dove coat in your own property unless there's a radius of 50 amot in every direction of your property. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be 4 kurin, which is the distance that a pigeon will fly in one flight. But then this is the caveat, if you bought the property and it had a dove coat in it, and there was very little property around it, then you are bechezkato, you have it's grandfathered in, you're allowed to keep it, and nobody can force you to pull it back or to tear it down. Now the first question the Gemara deals with is this 50 amah assumption, our assumption being that 50 amah is the greatest distance the pigeons will fly. 50 amah but too low? Ramini, ein porsin yishbin leonim, you're not allowed to set up traps for pigeons, elim kenayar hogmen ayishush l'shim ris, unless you're 30 ris, which is 4 mil, which is way more than 50 amot, away from the city, because the concern is that pigeons fly quite a distance, and you might be trapping somebody else's pigeons. Marbaya meshet shaiti tuva, so Abaya answers it very simply, they fly quite a distance. Kirsayu b'chamshim amtamalia, but they fill their stomachs within 50 amot, meaning they'll only go 50 amot away from the nest to eat, and that's the problem of eating up the grain, but they will fly further. But now you're saying that the 30 ris is the extent of their flight. But we learn in the Braita that you're not allowed to set up traps for them in the city, even 100 mil away from where the dovecote is, so they fly significantly further. So Yosef Amari says, but Yeshuv Kramim. That's talking about a case where there's lots of vineyards, so there's lots of places for them to stop, so they'll fly and then stop and then fly and stop, and they'll fly quite a distance. Rav Amar b'yishuv shovachin. Rav says there could be a situation where there's a lot of dovecotes. They'll fly from coat to coat, and they'll fly quite a distance, and that's the problem. So if you're not allowed to set up traps within 100 mil, but from all the way around there's a bunch of dovecotes, so you're not allowed to set it up closer to those dovecotes either. So you're not concerned about the one that's furthest, you're concerned about the ones that are closer. So it could be that you own all those other dovecotes, which you can certainly set up. It could be non-Jews who owned it. It could be unowned. Okay. Now, Rav Zvid or Papa concluded from our Mishnah that we argue on behalf of an heir or on behalf of a purchaser, meaning that when an heir inherited something or a purchaser bought something and it came with certain conditions that he cannot testify to how they got that way, we will argue on his behalf, sort of have the argument in place such that will give him his rights. Now, Yoresh Tanina, but wait a second. Why is he learning, getting that conclusion from our Mishnah? We have a clear bright that tells us that we argue on behalf of Yoresh. Haba Mishum Yerusha in Utsurich Tana. If somebody has a chazaka, normally they have to accompany it with a ta'na, an explanation of why they've been sitting there for all those years. But if they inherit it, they don't have to have the explanation. We're towing for them. So the answer is lo keach yitzterich le'rav zvid, or a papa saw that what was necessary from the mishnah was really lo keach. So lo keach lamitanina, that you've got a braita, a mishnah really at the end of the third parak. Lakach chatzer uvazizinum sustrot. Let's say you bought a chatzer, and it has beams that are sticking out into the shutarabim. Harezeh b'chazgata. You aren't told to take them, trim them down, or whatever it is, and because they're blocking the way of the rabbim. The answer is tzricha. Diyashmin and hatam gaber shut rabbim. If we only had that mishnah about rishut rabbim, deimor konis the toch shalohu. I might think that originally the original owner built it in his own property, and that's why there never was a problem, and that's why he could this lokeach is muhsak. Could be that the public was mochel towards the original owner, and then the lokeach got from him. But I wouldn't know to apply that here, where there was a specific owner nearby who has grain, and his fellow bought a dovecote. And if I only had our mishnah, Since there's only one neighbor, I would think maybe he made up with him. He gave him certain favors, or he bought him dinner, or whatever it might be. Or the other guy was just mochel. But in the case of the Rabbim at the end of Chazaka Habatim, who is it that could forgive that right of the Rabbim to protest his fellow's beams? That's why I need both our Mishnah and the later Mishnah. Now, we said that if you buy this dove coat already there, you're muchzak. We saw this in the previous podcast. There is no such thing as a chazak l'nezakin. There's no such thing as saying, this mazik has always been there, therefore it can stay there. So why is he allowed to keep this dove coat that was in a precarious position and a damaging position just because it was there? The answer is Mary Amar Bakutrav Zvid Amar Betakisa. The answer is that that rule of En Chazak Al Nezakin is only when there's something that really emits a terrible smell, smoke or smell like a Betakisa, but not just with a regular kind of Nezak. Okay, the next Mishnah on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Bet takes us into a real interesting area, which is that of Rov Vekarov, as we'll see in a moment. Nipul HaNimtza B'toch HaMashim Amah. Let's say a bird has fallen and we found within 50 Amot of a dovecote. Harehu Shabal HaShovach. And it belongs to the owner of the dovecote. Chutz V'chamishim Amah. If it's found outside of 50 Amah, Harehu Shomotso. Then finders keepers. Nimtza Ben Shnei Shovachot. But if it's found in between two dovecotes, Karov L'zeh Shalo, Karov L'zeh Shalo. Whichever one is closer to, that's the one who gets it. If it's exactly equidistant between two dovecotes, then they split the proceeds, which means they sell the bird and they split the money. Now, Amar Rabbi Chanina, this is a backdoor sugya. Rabbi Chanina is making a general statement, and our Mishnah will be invoked as part of the discussion. Rov ikarov hochinachar rov. When you have numeric probability versus proximity as a determinant of ownership, numeric probability takes the day. Rov beats Karov. V'avagav deruba d'oraita v'kurva d'oraita, even though both Rov are d'oraita, the sugin chulin, and kurva is d'oraita, as we're going to see in a moment, v'avagav d'oraita v'ilohachi rubadi, if ruba is stronger. Now, meiti rabizera challenges, and this is the typical style of the Amoraim. We start by challenges from explicit things in the Torah, then from things that are inferred from the Torah, and then from things that are rulings in a Mishnah Braita, and then a Maimer, and then case law, all the way down. And we're not going to do all of those, but we do start with the Torah. Vayirar Koral Chalal, this is the rule of Egla Rufa at the end of Parshat Shoftim, that if a homicide victim is found between two cities, you find the closest city, and that Beit Din has to come out and declare as if the guilt is theirs, and the murderer came from them, and they have to make the declaration. That means that even if there's another city that's a little further away but has more people, so you see that Karov takes the day, and we determine Suffolk based on proximity, the answer is Pedaleika. Maybe the case in the Torah is where there is no bigger city. But out there in the world there's a greater Rove, and that's why you're going to this closest city. The answer is V'yashav Ben Arim. So now we're coming up with a strange Ukimta and saying Egla Rufa only works when the city is a city that's totally isolated up in the mountains. There's no way that this guy could have come from anywhere else but that city. Highly unlikely. Now, Tanan, let's test it against our Mishnah. Nipon Tabatoch Mishamar, Shovach. So even though there's a dove coat that's a little further away but might have a lot more birds, nonetheless, we assign it to the closest dove coat. So the answer is Bidaleika. No, we're talking about a case where there are no other dovecotes nearby. If that's the case, where our Mishnah is a case where there's only one dovecote nearby, then Ihachi Emaseifa, look at the rest of the Mishnah. If it's outside of 50 Amot, then it's finders keepers. But if we're talking about a case where there is no other dovecote around, then it must have fallen from this one, even if it's more than 50 Amot. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the bird is walking, not flying. If a bird walks, it doesn't walk more than 50 amot. Flies, it can fly quite a distance. So then, Bari Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's a very famous story. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked in the Beis Medrash, if you're going to tell me that 50 amot is the max that they'll walk, what happens if one leg is inside 50 and one leg's outside 50? And that's why they threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beis Medrash. They were very familiar that Rabbi Yirmiyah had gotten thrown out, and now is the etiology. Now we find out why he was thrown out, because this question of Rishonim, we really are at sea to try to figure out why Rabbi Yirmiyahu was thrown out. The question's really not a bad question. How much do we take this Shear 50 seriously, meaning to the detail, and to what extent it does the whole bird have to be within 50? Not so clear. In any case, Toshma, Nimtzav Ben Shnei Shovachot, Kor L'Zeh Shalo, Kor L'Zeh Shalo. Look at the end of the Mishnah. If it's found between two Shovachot, then we assign it to the closest one. Even though one might have more birds, so it must be talking about a case where the two dovecotes have equal size populations. So why don't we consider rove of the world? Bishvil shel kramim. What we're talking about here is an area, a pathway that goes through vineyards. Remember, we said that our case is birds that are walking. If you think that this bird came from some other dovecote, and that's why you're saying Ruba Dalma should be taken into account, defending Rav Chanina. If it's walking, it can't come. Why? If it walks and it can turn around and see its own nest, it'll continue walking. But if not, it won't. In other words, birds will not walk away from the nest unless they can see the nest. So because there's vineyards there, it can't walk very far. So therefore, we know it didn't come from far outside. Now, Amar Abaya. Abaya tries to support this notion from a rule about Nida. If Dam is found in the canal, Sveikotame, so we have it as a din of Tuma, because we assume that it comes from the Makor, even though there's the outside area which is closer to the canal, to the vaginal canal, and where Dam could have come from there, which would be Dam Hamaka, not Tame. Nonetheless, we assume that it came from the Makor, which is Rove, and not Karov. So that supports Rav Chanina. Amalei Rava. Rava said to him, Rove Umatsui Kamart. You're not talking about a regular Rove, you're talking about Rove Umatsui. You're talking about a case where majority of the blood comes from there, and the blood is typically found there. Rav Matsua, Lake Alamandamar, nobody thinks that Rav Matsui takes a backseat to Karov. The only question is a regular Rav. Tani Rabbi Chiya, how do we know that? Rabbi Chiya taught Dama and Mitzabra Prozdor, same thing. Chayvin alava biat mikdash. If a woman walks into the mikdash in that state, she's chayiv for Tuma. Sorfin alava tatruma. And if she touches Truma, we burn it. We're not Tola. We burn it as Vadai Tameh. And Viyama Rava, what was Rava's comment on Rav Chiya? Shmamina Rav Chiya, plot. We learned three things. Shmamina Rava Karov Halecha Karov. That Rava Karov, Rav wins. In other words, we assume that Dam to be from the Makar, which by the way means Rava changed his mind and said that this thing about Matsui does not make it any different. And it really is a din of Rava Karov, regular Rav. Rav Matsui, Rav Aleinu Matsui is all Rav. Shmamina Ruba Doraita. The second thing you can infer is Ruba's Doraita, because otherwise she wouldn't be chayiv for Tuma and she wouldn't be sorry for the Truma. Shmamina Itzel Rabbi Zeira. Plus, we also must accept Rabbi Zeira. If you recall, in the end of the first parak of Tubot, when we talked about Rove as far as a case of Bia that's posel and identifying who the perpetrator was, Rabbi Zeira stated that you don't need two roves, meaning rove of the people of the city and rove of the travelers, because even if the walls of the city are closed and you only have the one rove of the people of the city, if they're Messiah and Lacuna, she's kosher. So he says it must be that we accept Rabbi Zeira. A woman is like a closed city, meaning there's not going to be a second rove that's coming in as far as the dam. And we follow the rove nonetheless and say in this case she's Tomei. Wait a second. Why is Rava inferring, and I already mentioned this, inferring from Chia that Rava Karov Rav Adiv, for Rava would have come a Rav Matsui like Kalamandam, Rava is the one who said nobody would argue that Rav Umatsui would take a backseat to Karov. The answer is Hanabe Rava Meahu. Rava changed his mind and said Rav Matsui, Rav Enu Matsui, it's all the same, and Rav Chia taught us that Rav beats Karov. All right, Itmar. Chavichet Safa Benahar. Which is, by the way, we've said that this does not necessarily support that Rava ends up saying that really this ruling about the Dam does support Rove beating Karov. Now, Itmar, Chavichet Safa Benahar. If you have a barrel floating in the river, now, if the barrel came from Jews, it's kosher. If not, not. It's not it's Yain Nesach. Maravin Seit Kedeket Irshu Rubah Yisrael. If it's found right in the river facing a Jewish city, mutar. When you have a city where a majority of the Jews, then mutar. Connected Irshu Benachrim Aser. If it's a non-Jewish town, then it's Aser. Shmuel Amar Afilim said connected Irshu Yisrael Aser. Even if it's found near a town that's mainly Jewish, it's still Aser. Amar Mehai Dakra Aitai. It may have come from Dakra, which is another town nearby, and floated down the river. So let me Rabbi Chanina coming Palgi. It sounds like the Rabbi Cholik about Rabbi Chanina. The right later Rabbi Chanina. Omar later Rabbi Chanina. Shmuel accepts Rabbi Chanina. And therefore he says the rove of people around here are not Jewish, and therefore this may be from there. And sorry, that's Shmuel. And Rav says, no, Karov, it's right near a Jewish town. Lo, that you can't state. The Chuliyah made little Rabbi Chanina. Everybody accepts Rabbi Chanina. Rove beats Karov. But here we've got a different consideration. Rav says, if you think it really came from that other town, the swirling of the water would have already drowned this barrel. It wouldn't have made it so far. Shmuel says, no, the water, the speed of the river might have kept it afloat. So in other words, they have a simple dispute about reality. Is it possible for a barrel to make it that far down the river without getting busted up and sinking? Okay, there was a barrel of wine that was found, evidently buried, in a vineyard that was still Orla. Sharya Ravina, Ravina said it's mutter. So let me show you the like Ravina. It sounds like he's accepting Ravina, saying that even though it's right in the middle of this Orla field, rove of things around are not Orla, and therefore we're following that. It seems to be kind of an extreme version of Ravina. The answer is no. Shani hatan di mikin of minei minatznui begavelo mitzni. Because this barrel was buried, it looks like it was stolen. It wouldn't have been stolen from that vineyard and buried in that vineyard. So here, Karov works opposite. It would not be in proximity. Now, v'hani mili chamra, this is only true about wine, v'alin v'mitzni. But if they had stolen grapes, they would have buried them in their own place, then come back at night to take them, or something. Hanu ziki de chamra, dishtak chan be kofoi. They found some wineskins that were right among the vines. Sharanhu Ravan. Rava said it's mutter, meaning that it was a Jewish vineyard, and they said the wine must be from there. So Lema lo sav alach Rav Chanina. It sounds like he does not accept Rav Chanina because he's voting for Karov versus Rov. The answer is no. Shani hatam deruba deshvuchai Yisrael ninu. Most of the people who use wineskins are Yisrael. Hani mili b'ravavi. By the way, that's only true about the big wineskins. Over zutri, if they're little ones, emor dumi over drachim nofal. They may have fallen from passersby. V'yika ravi b'hadayu. By the way, if they're small ones and big ones, then emor b'avuri habimanchi. Then maybe the little wineskins were packed with the big wineskins, sort of as a balance on the donkey, and therefore, if you find little ones and big ones, they are Jewish also. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next Mishnah, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.